This is a Christian Science Extemporaneous Prayer Treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website, mbeinstitute.org. If one gives serious consideration to the Bible, where it states that we should pray without ceasing, there's one way we can do that. That is, every thought, speech, and action should be directed to have it characterize the qualities of God. Anything that strives to bring our consciousness in line with God, which means reflecting God's qualities, that is prayer. Not asking for something, giving something. Giving our thought, speech, and action to glorify God. And when we do that, we glorify all God's manifestation. There's no limit at all. Consider thought, speech, and action. Jesus tells us if we think about something, that's the same as doing it. If we talk about it, we are doing it. We're doing it with our mouth. Dr. Fluno wrote a 1.5-page article, and in essence, it says that criticism leads to all evil. In other words, criticism is such a devastating depravity that it sucks into its pathway every other evil. All of them. So what would be the simplest way possible to eliminate all evil? Everything begins with mind. Day one. The first thing is there has to be light. Light exposes evil. Light is the source of direction for how to do everything, including bringing forth the revelation of progress. Infinite progression is concrete being. There's no limit to the potential progress. But evil is always limited, whether we see it or not. Once we recognize this, then we will not want to side with evil, and we will want to install a procedure, a discipline, a plan of action to eliminate every path of evil. And it is broad, very broad. That's probably why Francis Fluno said that all criticism leads to evil. And we know what evil leads to. Planned, self-inflicted destruction. So we have to self-initiate the opposite. And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy devoted time to every hour of the day. Are we going to do the same thing? Number one is to recognize that there is absolutely nothing but a dead end by following a single path of criticism. What are we doing when we criticize our fellow man? What does Genesis 1 verse 27 say? God made man in his image and likeness. If we criticize man, anyone, we're criticizing God, the only source of everything real. And are we going to spend time criticizing something that is unreal? Everyone can see that if they recognize something is unreal, they should be not spending any time whatsoever involved. Are we going to be involved in something that we can see is unreal? No. So the key is to see it. The key to seeing it is to shed light on it. In these prayer treatments, we've pointed out some of the common features of evil. One, it's built on deception. Two, it uses decoys to attract our attention away from truth. Three, it disparages anyone that is promoting truth by fabricating lies. Pure, blatant lies. Anyone criticizing anyone is creating lies about God, saying that that individual is not God's idea. Jesus saw everyone as God's idea. Everyone, without exception. Are we able to do the same thing? Are we willing to do the same thing? We will adopt and follow what we truly believe is the most valuable thing to us. If we lack doubt about the authenticity of what Mary Baker Eddy brought to us, then what's going to happen to the fake model? It's going to be seen for what it is, which is nothing. We may think it's impossible to separate the evil from the evildoer. You must allow in your consciousness the operation that will let it be cleansed. Mary Baker Eddy says human reasoning is the most powerful human facility. And to paraphrase, human reasoning. So we need to use human reasoning to reverse what we discover, whenever we discover it, to be something unlike God. Once we discover something to be unlike God, it's easier to reckon with it. Bernie Kirk, the one that did such a wonderful thing in New York City, along with Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, the other one, the police commissioner and the mayor, they teamed up and cleaned up one of the worst cities in the United States to be one of the best. And after they left, it headed down. It requires discipline. And if you're concerned about self-profit, you're automatically forgetting about God. Our president, who built one of the most beautiful organizations with the highest quality of hotels and shopping facilities within the hotels, golf courses, there's no question that perfection was the goal. He said if he would have thought about the money, he was sure that everything would be a failure. He says you cannot succeed if money is your motive. It has to be perfection. What is our motive? What is our motive? Is it perfection? Solomon had perfection. He succeeded. His father, King David, did well to get rid of Goliath, but after that, fell down through the cracks once he became king. He failed. Solomon succeeded. Being a genius leaves no room for giving up, giving in, falling down without getting back up, losing your thrust forward, deviating from the standard of perfection. It's very easy to be a genius if you have a desire to be perfect. And that means you're striving for perfection. That means be, it doesn't mean you are. It's not is, it's future tense. To be means to strive. If we're going to be involved in anything, we need to strive for perfection. The movie Remember the Goal is a wonderful one in that regard. And the movie Pay It Forward gives us some very good clues on how we get there. It's built on a life where one is cultivating giving, not taking. Taking will tear down everything that one has built, because it has no limits, because it is blind. You don't even realize what you're doing. Once you get involved in going down in your level of consciousness, you cannot go down and be a winner. You cannot go down and be a genius. Anyone can be a genius, but not by going down. The bottom is depravity. And you will keep falling if you don't go up. Because there is no neutral. It's one or the other. There is no gray area. There is no alloy. There is no mixture. Spirit is the only substance, and it is infallible. It is flawless. It's not partly good and partly bad or evil. It's one or the other. One speck of dirt is too much. One drop of a contaminant is too much. We must go to the nth degree to make absolutely certain we're not letting anything influence us that is erroneous. Because if we do, we cannot succeed at being a genius. And if we don't succeed at being a genius, we're not going to succeed in our endeavor. And that means we're going to take from all of humanity instead of give. We're going to take away our opportunity to reflect out into the universe of success, of spiritual movement forward and up. And instead, we're going to put things in the balance of evil. And that means we're assigning a D to it, a displacement, a devil, a personality. Jesus refused to do that. Every one of his parables talks in generic terms and not about a personality. Are we better than Jesus? Do we know more than he knew? How about God? Are we better than God? Are we going to advise God on what God should do for us? Is that what our prayer is? That means we're criticizing God. We're saying He doesn't know enough. He doesn't know how to take care of us. So we're going to give Him some advice. If you want a quick ticket to hell, that's the way to do it. Criticize God. And you can't get any bigger than that. Criticizing the one and only perfection, the one and only revealer, the one and only mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Is that what we're going to criticize? Mind is anything to do with the mental. Spirit is anything to do with substance. Soul is anything to do with identification. Principle is anything to do with structure. And you combine that with mind, which is the ability for the system, then you've got system with the structure. How about life? Life is living, activity, living the qualities of God in all thought, speech, and action. What is truth? Truth is the path that we must stay on. Its opposite is error, a mistake. If we're building a building, do we want a mistake on how straight the vertical is? Are we going to say, well, that's okay, it's only 1 degree off? Well, how far is it going to be off if you go up 100 feet? How about 1,000? How about if you're the tallest building in the world? However many feet that is, it's not going to tolerate any mistake, or it's going to fall down. It's never even going to reach the top level. It's very easy to determine if we're staying on the path. What is our magnet? What is attracting us? We should always be thinking about the end, the big picture, the reason for having the project to begin with. That's the end. That's the reason. That's the infallible attraction. Maybe there's flaws in the plan, but if we're using intelligence, if we are living intelligence, we're going to find it, it's going to be revealed to us, and we'll be able to take care of it, remedy it, whatever it takes. We're not going to let any single thing interfere with our intention. I'm not going to read in this prayer treatment the 1.5-page letter from Dr. Fluno, nor the 1-page letter from Mary Baker Eddy on the topic of the secret to healing. But they both should be read multiple times a day. It's not too much if you read them once an hour. They're very short, and they get right to the point. Mary Baker Eddy tells us what you need to do in order to have instantaneous healing. And the other thing we need to do is to practice only good qualities. I like to think of it as a quality of being good. And if it's not good, it's not really a quality. It's an absence of quality. We do not want an absence of any good quality. We want them all. Oh, every one of them. Which means that we will not lack anything. Nothing. The last thing on the totem pole at the highest level up on top is love. Because love must permeate every single quality in order to have success. All six of them, including itself. Love is the universal solution to everything. Because it will reveal to us what is wrong with any one single thing. Vladimir Ashkenazi, without a doubt the greatest pianist of all time, he was in a concert, and during the performance, he opened it up for Q&A. He was asked by someone who was known to be the most sincere critic, and the critic asked Vladimir. He said, "I've been following you around for some time now, and I'm amazed that I'm not able to find any fault with anything at all about your music, the way you perform it." He said, "How did you attain such a degree of perfection?" "That's all I do, is study mistakes, or how to notice them, how to find them, and I don't find any. How do you do it?" He said, "I practice, practice, practice." He was a Russian, so he had a little bit of a raw accent. "I practice until the music plays me." Contemplate that. What are we supposed to be doing in our thought, speech, and action? What are we supposed to be doing in our infinite progression, working toward concrete being? Striving for perfection. And how can we do it? There's one and only one way to do it. Get self out of the way. Yield to the idea of perfection. Don't think about self. Don't think about the trees. Focus on the forest. God is the forest. Our itsy-bitsy little problems, picking apart an idea, trying to find fault with anyone about anything, anywhere, anytime, for any reason. Forget it, including who you see in the mirror. If we're engrossed in criticizing even ourselves, we can't move forward. We can't become a genius, which means we will not finish the project. We don't want to waste time by going full circle from the beginning of something good and ending with nothing. We start with nothing, we go through a lot of process, and we end with nothing. We don't want a nothing circle. We want a circle that begins with a wonderful plan of action, and we got to keep on that plan until we get all the way to God. Mary Baker Eddy had 432 editions of Science and Health before she got to her final authentic edition. From 1875, edition number 1, to number 432 in 1910. 35 years. She went through 432 of them because you went through 431 to get to the final one. We don't want to give up. We can't give up. We can't even entertain the possibility of giving up. We must go forward. Frederick L. Rawson strived for perfection in everything he did. And according to his biography that was contributed to by everyone but himself, he excelled in everything there was. And he was involved in a lot of things. A lot of things. I think he had the shortest span of time in Christian Science. And what did he accomplish? He included in his accomplishments having over 500 healings where he demonstrated going back in time to perform the healing. Which means that when the patient first became aware that there was a problem, after that, it didn't exist. Time disappeared. Because he replaced an ailment with perfection. The true image of man. He was able to do that because he realized that there's no time with God, and he was yielding to God to manage things. He didn't try to stick his fingers in the pot to try to mess it up. Maybe that's the one that we're going to utilize for building our church, the one that is built by God. Is that the one we're going to follow? The structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from a divine principle? We have an image of a beautiful building for a library in our header under our present design. And we have the definition of church next to it. And we state that that is the church that we are a member of. The structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. That's our church. That should be your church. That should be everyone's church. We state that Christian Science is very simple, described in two words. Golden rule. Golden rule. Christian Science is the golden rule activated. Gold is a symbol for perfection. And the golden rule means that we're going to do to everyone else exactly what we would like them to do to us. And I should throw in one other caveat, and that is that we want to be perfect. So let's say we want to give to others as they would give to us if we're striving to be perfect. Now we're in big trouble. We have a standard of perfection if we adopt that. And the beauty about mind is that we can be at the end by thinking about it. And that's exactly what we should be thinking about all the time. Being in the state of perfection. That's the best way to get there. Is to strive for it. Have it as our image and thought. There was a professor at the university that wanted to show exactly what he wanted his students to do and to appreciate why he wanted them to do it. And he thought that if they could understand the reason, then they would want to do it. So he hung this large sheet, white, across the viewing area. And he said, "What do you see?" They said, "Well, we see a big white sheet." He said, "Look closely." Sure enough, they discovered it had a black dot right in the epicenter. A black dot. Tiny little black dot. "Oh, you want us to see the black dot? Okay. We see it. We're going to focus on that." He said, "I want you to do the opposite." He said, "I want you to know that black dot is there, and you have to take care of it, because if you don't, it will grow. But you always want to keep your picture on the entire spectrum. You want to look at the forest, not let one little tree tell you what the forest is about. Life is about the big picture." Wentworth Winslow said it very well in an article entitled "The Bicycle and the Brick." He says, if you're going down a path with your bike and you see a brick in the pathway, what should you do? Should you look where you're going, or look only where you want to be going? You cannot answer either one of those by itself, because you have to look where you're going, but you have to be aware of any obstacle that might be in the way, because you have to take care of it. But you don't stare at it and just head toward it, or you'll do what Mr. Winslow warned us against, and that is, if you focus on the brick, you're going to run right into it. And that's not going to be a happy experience on a bicycle. Let's close by stating a special prayer by Mary Baker Eddy on the topic of spirit. She did 7 of these prayers and gave it to her final class in 1898. All of them were her most experienced healers. And on the 3rd day of the class, she assigned to all of them to go out and perform a healing and come back the next day and report on the details. They all passed without a problem. It was their normal routine to heal the belief of anything unlike God, no matter what it was. Spirit is the only substance, and therefore, being permanent, it is also flawless. Being flawless, it's transparent. Being transparent, it's reflective. And that gives us the power to reflect any good that we see or that is revealed to us. We must live what we want to become, or what we want to realize that we are already. And recognizing spirit as being flawless and being the only substance means that any thinking we do must be spiritual. Any substance we think about has to be spiritual. Any way we identify anything has to be through our spiritual senses. Our structure has to be composed of spirit. Because if it's composed of matter, it will fall down. Any structure composed of matter will fall down. It's building on sand. Our structure has to be spiritual, which is principle. The one prior, the identity, that's soul. And life means that every activity that we're involved in, all thought, speech, and action in our life, must be with a spiritual, absolute influence completely. And love, of course, can only come about if we've stayed on the track of truth. So truth comes before love. And that's exactly what truth is. It's the track that we must stay on in order to be headed toward God, heaven on earth, perfect consciousness, and enabling us to be God's image and likeness. The opportunity is there, but we have to open the door of our consciousness, as it says in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, and let us make man in our image and likeness. Us is life, truth, and love, as Mary Baker Eddy explains in chapter 15. So let life, truth, and love be our polar magnet. And those are with capital letters, the first letter being capital, meaning God. God the only truth. God the only life. God the only love. Here is the prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy entitled Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Spirit. We must declare often that Spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one Spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is Spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial, Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is Friday, August 14, 2026. At 22:12 on the 24-hour clock. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment extemporaneous on the topic of criticism, balance for versus against. The end.